Good morning. Welcome back to the Broadcast Retirement Network. This is BRN AM for Friday, April 12th, 2024. And our top story today, how mediation can help bridge the gap to settle your divorce. Joining me now to discuss this and a lot more, Alex Jacobson is with the Jacobson Mediation Group. Alex, it is so great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us on the program this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is a, I was going to say a fun topic, but it's not really a fun topic. I mean, you specialize in divorce mediation. And I have to think that when you think about splitting up assets or the financial picture, this is oftentimes probably one of the more difficult, other than custody of a child, probably one of the more difficult decisions.
Absolutely. I mean, there are two main buckets of your divorce judgment. One deals with the kids stuff and one deals with the money stuff. And so when you're talking about the financial aspects of a divorce, you're talking about what, if any, support is paid between households, how your assets are allocated, how your debts are allocated, you know, who's paying what for the kids' expenses, who's paying for college, all of the financial pieces that a judge needs to see in a final judgment is what I do in terms of walking people through a financial mediation with respect to their divorce.
And are there are there a lot of misconceptions? So you know, a lot of times when people, I've not been through a divorce process, but a lot of people, you know, there's disagreements. Right? You know, we no longer get along, or we don't like how we're raising the kids. But are there a lot of misconceptions around it? You just don't know what to expect, I would imagine, clients when they walk into this, right?
Yeah, I mean, and candidly, that's a substantial reason why I left the litigation part of the practice. In mediation, you can sit in my conference room. We can talk creatively about how to disentangle two people from a financial perspective. Obviously, two households are more expensive than one, but we need to find a way to make it work for both households so that both people can move on with their lives and raise their children in sort of some level of equal platform so that their kids can enjoy their lives in both of their homes. In terms of misconceptions, you know, some people think that, you know, because I was the primary breadwinner during the marriage, I therefore get a substantially more, you know, bigger piece of the assets, whereas the stay-at-home spouse would perhaps get less. Those are certainly factors that a court would take into consideration in terms of allocating an estate. But that is not the beginning and end of the analysis.
And does it vary depending on what region you live in, what area of the country, what state, what local jurisdiction? There may be different rules. Of course, there are different rules, right? There are 50 states, one District of Columbia. They all have the laboratories of democracy. So I'm assuming that there are different rules, and how you approach this mediation varies depending on what state the people are domiciled in.
Absolutely. I mean, because of COVID, my ability to reach the entire state of Illinois is much easier, but I'm a one-trick pony. I know Illinois law and Illinois law only. And with respect to, you know, divorce and family law, that's a state-based rule of law. So I can only speak to Illinois law.
Yeah. And let's talk about one of the biggest assets that people have. Let's talk about that, the home. And there was an interesting piece of, you know, we've got some increased mortgage rates now that the Fed has raised interest rates, although I think some of that may be changing, hopefully, in the near future. But certainly mortgage rates are higher than they were even a year ago or 3 years ago. This has an impact on what you think about, right, when you're deciding to sell the family house and then maybe buy a condo or a townhouse or another home.
Sure. I mean, it's oftentimes the largest asset of the marriage. And whereas you used to simply say, you know, one party is going to buy out the other's interest, or we're going to simply sell the home, split the proceeds, and everybody's going to get their chunk of change and buy their own residence, that analysis becomes a bit more complicated when you go from a 2.5-3% interest rate to 7%. And obviously then your marital residence becomes far more challenging to support. Or the alternative, selling the home and then going and purchasing a new residence becomes more challenging to do. And so, again, you have to think creatively about how you're going to accomplish this so that everybody has a roof over their head. I mean, maybe two people are continuing to reside together or nest where one, parents move in and out of the house depending on their parenting time. Alternatively, perhaps one spouse is continuing to stay on the mortgage so that there doesn't need to be a refinance. Obviously, then the other spouse may have a bit more of a challenge in terms of purchasing his or her new residence. Perhaps they're going to rent at that point so that they can stay on the mortgage for the other spouse. Sometimes we're seeing banks being willing to allow one party to assume the mortgage, although that is few and far between.
Yeah, and what percentage is, but anecdotally, I'm not asking for a specific, I'm not putting you on the spot, but what the more people are kind of staying together, and I say together, they're under the same roof now, even though they're separated or divorced, and that seems to be because of the higher interest rates and some of the challenges in getting that next home.
I can't speak to specific percentages or how long that's lasting. I can tell you that number one, from a parenting perspective, that is not a sustainable arrangement. It's perhaps a short-term fix. And then number two, maybe that is the arrangement that's happening during the pendency of a divorce while we are figuring out the larger picture, as opposed to just simply selling the home, right off the bat and everybody getting their separate residences. Maybe people are continuing to live together, although not ideal.
No, certainly not. Alex, I need to take a very quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more about divorce mediation, what you need to know. How do you find a mediator where you live? You're going to want to stay tuned right here on BRN AM. Imagine a new television network that will make you richer, healthier, and in control of your financial future. This network is for the policewoman in Nashville, Tennessee, the baker in Dubuque, Iowa, the teacher in Lexington, Kentucky. We want to make the idea of savings and retirement culturally relevant. But what do you see as a defining issue of the midterms?
Especially for the smaller businesses. I mean, they are the lifeblood of the American economy.
Featuring exclusive interviews, current affairs, and docuseries. 33 yeah. years old, you retired early.
The philosophy is money only matters if it helps you live a life that you love.
But you got to start thinking about retirement as soon as you get in.
The Broadcast Retirement Network will drive very high engagement with premium partnerships. So this isn't retirement and savings for your parents or grandparents. This is for all Americans. And we're going to change the way you think about money. Welcome to the next frontier of retirement and savings. This is BRN, the Broadcast Retirement Network. Alex, thanks so much for staying with us. Really appreciate you hanging around for segment number two this morning.
Of course.
I have to tell you, just going through this conversation, again, not having been through a divorce, there's a lot of things that I would never even think of. And I think of myself as fairly savvy when it comes to financial things. Let me ask you, let me back up for a second, Alex. How do you find it? If people don't live in Illinois, where you are, how do you find a mediator in your local area? Is there an association, or do you just, people don't use the Yellow Pages anymore, but do you just Google?
Sure, you can do that. But the vast majority of my clients come to me either from other lawyers, judges, the county certified mediator list, but truly, you just go to whoever your trusted advisor is, and everybody knows a divorce lawyer or a divorce mediator, and it's a personality fit, in terms of meeting with a few, deciding whose style, whose approach fits your own, and to see who's going to help you get to the other side in the most seamless way possible.
And I have to think that your job, and sometimes you're a mediator, sometimes you're a referee.
I like to say I'm not a mental health professional. I've never taken a psychology course in my life, although I absolutely play one in my day job.
Yeah, I mean, you have to, there's a psychological element to this. You're trying to get people to kind of that final step. One we talked about the home, which is oftentimes the largest asset that many people have. Let's talk about retirement and retirement accounts. That, a 401k or a pension, does that come up in conversation? How do we, I used to be in the retirement industry, so we had something called a quadro or domestic relations order that had to be qualified. Again, we're not going to get technical here, but do you get into those types of conversations? And what are those conversations like? Because the house is having a roof, but then assets that you're going to spend if you live in retirement, you're going to need those assets, healthcare, paying for your car and all that kind of stuff.
Sure. I mean, we deal with all of the assets of the marriage. And when it comes to retirement, we need to deal with that, with an eye towards what, the tax impact of retirement versus non-retirement assets. One of the things to be mindful of when dealing with retirement assets is what, if any, portion of that particular asset was accumulated prior to the marriage versus during the marriage. So that, in terms of allocating that asset between spouses, we're doing it in a way that is fair and equitable.
Yeah, I mean, it, and people have to be cognizant that they're going to live longer, we're living longer, and therefore, there's just like the house is a priority, the retirement plan possibly could be a priority. Last question, Alex, in terms of the mindset that you should come to mediation, if you're on either side, you're one of the spouses or the partners, what kind of mindset should you come with? Is it about checking the ego at the door? There's a lot of hurt there, a lot of pain, potentially suffering. What kind of mindset do you have to have?
Look, there's room for emotions in the conversation and in a mediation setting, but mediation isn't just for people that mostly get along and need somebody to help them dot their I's and cross their T's in their agreement. Mediation is also for high conflict couples that just appreciate that litigation is really time consuming, really expensive, and makes co-parenting after the fact really, really challenging. And so when you come to the table in mediation, you have to be willing to compromise. Not be looking to extract a pound of flesh, and just sort of have an eye towards getting through the process in a way that can be fair and reasonable to both people, and allow you to co-parent after the fact.
Yeah, you just got to get it done, and you got to be able to put aside the ego. It sounds like, Alex. Last question. I lied. That was not the last question. Last question. Anyone ever throw? Air miles your way?
No, I have not taken anybody's air miles, nor have I taken anybody's kitchen spatulas or garlic presses. I leave those items for them to divide.
Yeah, we were joking during the commercial break about wedding crashers, and I had to bring it up. Alex, so great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us, and we look forward to having you back on the program again very soon.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
And that wraps up this episode of BRN AM. Have a topic of interest, someone you think we should talk to, then drop us a line. And don't forget, for all the latest curated news and lifestyle, wellness, finance, tech, so much more, all in one place, check out today's edition of our daily newsletter, The Morning Pulse. Want to search our archives, check out our latest content? Well, then visit our website. We're back again tomorrow with another edition of BRN Weekly. Jane King will be here from the NASDAQ to help break down the markets. And then we'll be taking a look back at some of our best segments for the week. Until then, I'm Jeff Snyder. Stay safe, keep on saving, and don't forget, roll with the changes. Now is your opportunity to co-create content around any topic on the First Lifestyle and Wellness Network. Reach a global audience through our platform and co-own exclusive branded content. All of our programs are available on demand and also as audio-only podcasts, so you can take us on the go. Broadcast Retirement Network, available anytime, anywhere, and on any device.